Well, prayer. Prayer is such a wonderful privilege. I'd love to really talk about it just as our at the beginning here, just as the privilege that it is, this wonderful opportunity for us to come into the presence of God. If you go back into the Old Testament, coming into the presence of God was a fearful thing. The people of Israel, this whole system that had set up with a priestly system. This is the only way that fallen people can ever come into the presence of God. We're broken people. He's holy, we're not. So God made a way. The priest, you know, a selected priest once a year would be able to go in and make atonement for the sins of the people. What a fearful thing. I'm sure for a Levite, growing up in this priestly system, the opportunity would maybe of anticipation, but for many people, what a fearful thing. They would just as soon somebody else do. They wouldn't want to have to go in there and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Remember, they would be garbed with their robes and all of the symbolism that's there and the bells that they would wear, and they would be tied about with a rope. And if they weren't worthy, if something was not done correctly, if they hadn't properly purified their own selves, they could be killed by God. Because no man deserves to go in there. And yet, what does the book of Hebrews tell us? To come boldly? How's somebody like me gonna come boldly? One of my children had a dream not too long ago. A nightmare comes running through our trailer. We felt them coming. My whole trailer starts moving when somebody starts running. And they just come flying down. Folks, you know what? They did not care. He did not care that I was fast asleep. He did not care if I slept for the rest of the night. He jumped in my bed. He weaseled his way in. He had had a nightmare. And folks, he came boldly into my presence. Who does he think he is? Folks, he's welcomed because he's my son. Folks, something has happened to us and our status. Folks, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who became our high priest once and for all. He was the sacrificial lamb. He went into the presence and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And folks, to this day, you and I, boldly, we march into the presence of God, a place where we have no business going, except now we do. Because we're the sons and the daughters of God. And so boldly we come. What a privilege. What a beautiful, beautiful privilege it is that we come in the name of Jesus Christ and we make our requests known unto him. And we pray to him. And so I want us to think tonight, as we think of this matter of prayer, just a few little points that I think we can draw from this. And just from the words here, Paul, as he gives these little last instructions to the people of Colossae, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be devoted. This is a commitment. This is a commitment to prayer. The ESV says, continue steadfastly in prayer. I really think that this devotion to prayer, this commitment to prayer, this steadfastness in continuing in prayer, I think on one side, I think that there is to be a persistence in prayer. Are you persistent in prayer? I love the story. Matter of fact, I'll reference it a couple times here. I love in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, where the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? We don't have to turn there. I'll just kind of paraphrase my way through this. Jesus, he gives them the model prayer. We could just spend the whole time there, obviously, Jesus teaching on prayer. But then right after he gives the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? He tells a story. It's kind of a funny story. You remember this story. He says, let's say you have somebody who comes and visits you in the middle of the night. They're friends of yours. They're on a journey. They're traveling through. And you don't have anything to put before them. In this time, in this culture, you would open your home to friends. It wasn't safe. There wasn't a Holiday Inn Express. You would open your home, you would bring them in, you'd put food before them. This is what you do. But if you didn't have any food, it would be embarrassing. So what does he say? It says you have a friend that comes to you, you have nothing to put before them. So what do? You go and you run to your neighbor and you start banging on the door. And your neighbor says, go away. I'm asleep. My kids are asleep. Leave me alone. But then it says this. It says, though he will not give you anything to give to your guest because he's your neighbor, your friend. It says, yet because of your persistence, he will rise and he will give you what you need. Now, folks, Jesus turns around and he says, and I say to you, ask, seek, knock. Now, is Jesus telling us to bug God? Number one, obviously this picture falls apart a little bit because God's not asleep saying, leave me alone. But at the same time, folks, he is telling us that I really think there can be a little bit of audacity in this. There's a boldness with which we come to God and we make our requests known unto him. Jesus said, this is how I want you to knock. I want you to be committed. I want you to be devoted. I want you to be persistent. Now, when it comes to this matter of being persistent in prayer, it's very convicting to me. I personally, as I've talked to people about prayer, as I speak on prayer, I've never had a single person, and I promise you, I couldn't be one of these people. I've never had a single person who looked me square in the eyes and said, you know what? I pray as much as I think God wants me to pray. I've just never met anybody who's told me that. I'm not saying that there's not people like that out there. But I have met many, many, many people, and I personally fall into this category of people who say, I need to pray more. I need to be more devoted. I need to be more consistent. I need to be more persistent. Folks, when it comes to prayer, he says to this church to be devoted, committed to prayer. Where are we at in our personal prayer life? You know, I read an article back several years ago. It was actually an article by John Piper. I found it so interesting. I found it so helpful. He was talking about different types of prayer, and there were several, but two stuck out to me. One because I find it easy for me. One because I actually find it hard for me. It's very convicting. He first of all talked about the freedom that we have in prayer. He talked about the freedom that we have. And folks, it really is. I mean, isn't it an awesome thing that we can pray all the time? Folks, there is great freedom in prayer. I have a decently long commute across the parking lot to church. And folks, I can pray in that commute, right? You don't have to be on your knees, eyes closed in prayer, right? You can pray while you're driving. You better not have your eyes closed. Folks, we can pray all the time. We can pray all the time, and I believe that our life should be full of prayer. Constantly talking, in tune with, in touch with, in conversation with the power source of your life. Folks, we need to live this way. There's great freedom. Folks, we can talk to God. I mean, let it sink in. We can talk to the creator of the universe all the time. There's this freedom in prayer. Now, I love this. Charles Spurgeon said, I rarely pray more than 10 minutes at a time. He said, but I rarely go more than 10 minutes at a time without praying. What a statement. In tune, in touch with his God all day long. I'm telling you, we can live this way. I kind of like that one. I brought it up first because you know what? That one kind of fits my personality. You folks probably don't know me so well, but I'm just kind of like, woo, let's go. You know, that's just kind of my personality. I'm not like, let's sit and in an office and work for a long, long time. I get a little antsy. I gotta go, you know. And so on the move, praying on the move. But then he also talked about focused prayer, form in your prayer life. And folks, can I tell you something? When it comes to real persistence, when it comes to real commitment, when it comes to real devotion to prayer and the things that we ought to be bringing to our God, can I just tell you that this praying on the move is not going to go but so deep. Praying. Back just not long ago, I was working through a new prayer list, and I was praying. I was writing out some lists of for my children, and I was so convicted because I'd sort of gotten away from it. And there's some specific things I pray for my kids all the time on the move. But when it comes to really praying deep. When it comes, you're just not going to pray, but so deep on the move. There's got to be times where there is the focus, where there is the on your face, in your prayer closet, seasons of prayer, where you're coming to God. I don't know if you work off of a list, but folks, praying, I mean, you're just not going to pray but so deep. I'll tell you the point that I was really convicted about. I don't pray for my children's spouses. I mean, my oldest is 10. My youngest is 3. It's just like, I got time, don't I? And I was so convicted. I'm like, God, but I need to be in prayer for their spouses. Folks, it's just a level of depth for the people in my life. It's a level of depth coming to God that's just not going to happen on the move. Folks, we need God to take us deeper in prayer. And we've got to be committed to this devotion to prayer. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's going to take labor in prayer, intercessory prayer, to pray that your son loves Jesus more than he loves pornography. It's going to take commitment to prayer, to pray that God helps your wife, that God helps your husband, that God changes their heart. Take advantage of prayer on the move. But folks, we've got to be devoted to prayer. We need God to help us. We need God to take us deeper. I love what he says next. He says, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I love the keeping alert in it. I think there, the ESV, I think also the King James maybe, I think says watch in it. The whole idea of being alert, keep being watchful, almost the picture of a watchman. That terminology was very common to people in the Bible times because you did have watchmen who would watch over a city. Well, what would a watchman be waiting for as he was standing alert, awake? I mean, if a watchman was ever caught sleeping, it was a problem, right? But many times, praying. I mean, how many of you don't, you know, have ever, you know, the greatest of intentions, but you woke up in a pool of drool? You know, is it just me, you know? The the watchman would stand on the city walls, and he would watch, and the watching of a watchman, I mean, there was two things he was watching for. One of them he was hoping he didn't see. This isn't watching as a watchman alert because the enemy's coming. No, this is for answered prayer. And what would a watchman be waiting for with great anticipation? As a watchman waits for what the psalmist says, waits for the morning. So my soul waits for you. That's this alertness. That's this watching and this waiting, this alert, because we have a God who answers. Do you believe God answers prayer? I mean, our pat answer on that is yes, of course we believe that God answers prayer. But folks, do we really believe that He answers prayer? Do we really believe that He answers prayer all the time? And that probably the reason why we feel like He doesn't answer prayer is because He doesn't answer prayer the way we want Him to answer prayer. He says that we are to be alert in it, keeping alert, watching, watchful, because we have a God who answers prayer. And then he says this, and I think it all goes together with an attitude of thanksgiving. It's a predetermined attitude of your heart that no matter what the answer is, whether it's yes, whether it's no, or whether it's not now, or however it is that God answers, it's predetermined in your heart. You are already going to have a heart of thanksgiving no matter what. Folks, I don't know what's going on. You know, Tracy, just a few minutes ago, and I don't know because I really haven't been here. I just got here. But he just made mention just a few minutes ago about trials in the lives of people in the church. I don't know what those are. And in the midst of trials, God uses those to put us on our knees. God uses those to take us to deeper levels of prayer. And I don't know what's going on, and I don't want to pretend for a second that I do, because I don't. But we're to be people who there is a predetermined attitude in prayer. That God, we trust you. We trust that your answers are best. And no matter what, even if your answer is no, the sickness isn't going away. That God, I'm so convinced that you're up to good. I'm so convinced that your plans for me are even better than my plans for me. And I'm so convinced of it, God. I'm praying, devoted. I'm watching and I'm alert to see what you're going to do. And at the same time, God, there is a predetermined thank you, God, because your plans for me, I trust them because I trust you. Folks, I love as you continue on in Luke chapter number 11. I love what Jesus says. He tells this story about keeping on knocking, ask, seek, knock. Let there be persistence. And then he comes right behind and he just throws a dagger in there to any of us who are parents and have children. He says, how many of you? And this matter of prayer, Jesus says, how many of you? Your children would come to you, your child would come to you and ask for bread and you would give them a stone. Your child would come to you and ask for fish and you would give them a serpent. They would ask for an egg and you would give them a scorpion. And then he turns around and says, and you being evil still know how to give good. How much more? Folks, God is a giver of what is best. And I don't want to be trite in saying that because I don't know what trials are going on. But folks, Paul says, pray. Let there be great devotion in your prayer life. And then he says, be alert, be watchful, because we have a God who answers prayer. And let this all be done with a predetermined attitude of thanksgiving, because God, I don't know how you're going to answer me in the midst of this financial crisis. I don't know how you're going to answer me in the midst of this personality conflict. I don't know how you're going to answer in the midst of this sickness. But God, I just know that you're a good father and that you give good gifts. So much so that there is a predetermined thank you that I want to accompany my prayer with. Folks, that's the prayer of faith. Paul then continues, and this is where I want to really close and bring this together and bring in the Spread the Word guys and our work this summer. Paul then says in verse number 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. So Paul, if I could like throw some points at this, Paul talks about praying in devotion, being devoted in prayer, really then praying really in faith, believing, watching, alert, then praying with thanksgiving and attitude of thanksgiving that accompanies our prayer life. And then if I could throw another one on this, verse number 3, would be really praying evangelistically. How is it that the church is to pray evangelistically? Well, when it comes to being evangelistic, the church has received from Jesus Christ himself a commission. The Great Commission is Jesus Christ. He dies on the third day. He rises from the dead. After 40 days, he ascends up into heaven. Before he ascends, as he's gathered with his followers on the mountain, he gives what we call the Great Commission. Matthew chapter number 28, Acts chapter 1, we find the Great Commission. And I love Acts chapter 1. He says, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you're going to become witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to go. Folks, we have a commission. We have a job. We are to go. And when you take that and you think about the uttermost parts, you know, you start big, the uttermost parts of the world. How is it that we're going to be obedient to the Great Commission to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth? I mean, how are you going to be obedient to that? How am I going to be obedient to that? I can't go to the other side of the world this summer. I mean, I'm here. God's called me here. How am I going to be obedient to that part of the Great Commission here this summer? How are you going to be obedient to the Great Commission? I mean, the Great Commission, how are you going to be obedient to get the gospel to China? Well, folks, it's awesome. God worked this whole thing together. And I mean, what do? We have missionaries. We do the work of getting the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth by seeing the gifts of and helping and sending out missionaries all around the world. And it's awesome. But Paul here, he says, pray for us that God would open up a door for us. On one side, we are to do our part in sending the gospel, getting the gospel. And folks, I mean, you know what? I love the fact that Inner City Baptist Church, you put your money where your burden is. But another step really to it is not just that you put your money where your burden is that you put your prayer where your burden is. Do you pray for your missionaries? To pray that God works, that God opens up a door for those who are on the other side of the world, that God opens up a door for them. We just prayed for Pastor and for Ben, that God would open up a door. And this is at a conference with a bunch of saved preachers. And we prayed for them, but we need to pray. Paul says, in the midst of all of your praying, pray for us that God would open up. Folks, this is praying that God will do a miracle. This isn't praying for the normal. This is praying for the supernatural. This is praying for miracles, that God would open up doors of opportunity that your missionaries can't explain, maybe other than just that folks at home are praying to a God who's powerful. Folks, we're to pray for those around the world. Pray for your missionaries. Pray also for, bring it back in closer. You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. You can bring it back in. You've got church planners that you've sent out from your church and down in Ohio. That you support out in Utah. There's church plants right here in the area, Resurrection and Grace in Hamtramck. Folks, this is going beyond your close area, but then bringing it all the way in. Do you pray for your church? Folks, we're to pray for the ministry of Inner City Baptist Church. Why is Inner City Baptist Church here? Well, why is it that Inner City Baptist Church sits right here on Allen Road? This is just some brilliant men back a few years ago said, that's the spot. Where did God put this place here? Folks, I mean, you know what? I'm kind of pumped. I'm kind of pumped that I'm like a part of the neighborhood. I've sort of been pretending I was part of the neighborhood back on the back 40, you know, back there in my trailer. I got really close to my closest neighbor, Jim. He actually died. We bought his house. For 3 years, I shared Christ with that man. I really want to believe that he put his faith and trust in Christ. He had all kinds of Catholic mumbo jumbo that just really confused him. But he really had a point where he prayed and asked Christ to save him. And he would answer all the questions right. I really want to believe he got saved. I worked with him. Peter Cushman worked with him for a long, long time. But I was kind of a neighbor in the neighborhood and sort of pretended. I was just talking to Stephanie though. I feel like I'm really part of the neighborhood now. I'm meeting all kinds of neighbors in some ways that I don't even want to meet them, you know. I moved in. The first time I met my neighbor right across from me this way. He was an older gentleman, 84. I went out, I talked to him, said, hey, we talked for about 15 minutes just at his fence. And I said, hey, I'm going to come over and sit down with you and just spend some time. Guess what? He died the next day. Folks, I want that to move me. I want to be burdened for this, for hand for. Folks, we need to pray that God will work in the area right here around where he's put this church. And we've got to pray that God will open up doors of opportunity for your missionaries around the world, for your, right here in America, the church plants that have gone out, and for your church right here in this area, if you were to drop a pin here, you know, even the efforts of Summerfest, you know, the guys, we'll be out, and Peter heads it up, and they canvass this big square, Southville, over to Dix, down to Outer, and just nail this area, just trying to get the word out that come to Summerfest. But folks, praying that God, this isn't praying for the normal. When Paul says, pray that God will open up a door for the mystery of Christ, it's praying that God would do something supernatural, a miracle. Folks, this is what we pray. We've got to pray this way. Would you pray for the spread the word, guys, that God would open up doors for them as they don't know it yet, but my goal is to throw them into every messy situation I can. Folks, so that we can learn how to share Christ. And then I think it kind of goes without saying that I think another part of prayer is, God, would you open up a door for me? I think that needs to be the prayer in the heart of every single one of us as Christians. God, would you open up supernaturally, would you open up doors for me? I mean, I said it this morning. Well, you know, why are we on this earth? What are we doing here? And we don't just have, you don't just get saved and get baptized and off you go to heaven. God has us here. God puts us here, not so that our life can just be pulled down to work, supper, TV, bed. But so that we can live in this world, engaged in this culture, and meeting people and praying the whole time, God, would you do a miracle? Would you open up a door that I can't explain, that I couldn't wiggle open? God, it's you that's doing this. It's undeniable to me. God, make it clear to me. Folks, I mean, sometimes I feel like we get so overwhelmed with how many people there are out there who need Jesus, we actually totally lose sight of the fact that God probably wants you maybe going after one or two or three right now. I mean, really, if that's true, if that were to be the case, that God really, in his plan for you and your life, in the midst of where you work, where you live, your family, your neighborhood, your church, your drive, your walk, your shopping spots, your coffee spots, if God's plan for you is to really right now try to get the gospel to 3 to 4 maybe people, or really probably the bandwidth that you have, maybe a nice little target 3 or a target 5 maybe. I mean, who would be on your list? If you were just going to say, you know what, God, I am here, and you don't know if these people will get saved, but at least, God, you have me living my life right now, working this job on this project with this person, living right here with that lady. I mean, how long has she been there? Or maybe she just moved in. You just can't get around it. I wonder if you just sat down with a piece of paper, sat down with your phone, taking a note, and you just prayed and said, God, who would be my top 3 prospects? And God, would you give me a summer in which I'm praying and I am in tune and I am looking because I am asking you to open up a door of opportunity. I just wonder if it might happen. That God would open it up, and there you are. There they are. Maybe it's step number 1. Of just making contact. You've been waving for how long? Take some cookies. And maybe that's for you ladies. Men, don't make cookies. But just making contact. Maybe you've done that a long time. Maybe it's bringing up Jesus. You just haven't gone there. The man who died, his daughter Anita was in the driveway today. And I just walked over and I said, hey. And I introduced myself And I mean, within just a few words, asking her about her dad, she teared up. She doesn't live there. She just comes over to see her mom, who still lives there. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just walking back across the street, and I'm just like, man, God, this lady is hurting. Maybe God wants to open up a door. Folks, we got to think this way. We got to pray this way. Pray for your missionaries around the world. Be devoted to it, committed to it. Pray for your church, that this place will be a lighthouse this summer. I love the summertime. Wintertime, it's cold. Everybody hibernates up here. Summertime, everybody's out. Everybody's moving. Take advantage. Take advantage of people out on their porches. Pray for your church. Pray for yourself. Pray for us. Spread the word, guys, that God would do miraculous things, that he would open up doors for us to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Let's have our heads bowed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Lord, would you work? Lord, would you help us to be people who pray? That is so convicting to me. Lord, take me deeper. Lord, don't let me be a hypocrite. God, would you help us to be people who are devoted to prayer, people who know you answer. We're so assured of it, we stand alert, watching and waiting. And Lord, having a heart of thanksgiving because we know that you're a good God who gives good gifts to your people, and we trust you. And then in the midst of all this praying, oh God, may we pray for the gospel. Lord, it is an amazing thing. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. What an unlikely story. Poor man. Nothing fancy. And he turned this world right side up. His little band of followers, Lord, have gone and took this great commission. And Lord, today, here we stand 2,000 years later, followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, the gospel's going to keep marching on. Your church will be built. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, may we see our part in it and throw ourselves into it with everything that we've got. Lord, we're on the winning side. Help us to believe it. Lord, build your church and use us. We pray. In Christ's precious name, amen.